We should take our hats off to the young people who come up and read the readings each week, because we have adults that come year after year who've never read a reading. Never read a reading. But the young people will give it a go. And, you know, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. They need to be encouraged. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And I think it's wonderful that they try. I really do. I think it's awesome. And so blessings to each and every one of you that have a go. So my message today, I'm going to speak on Yom Teruah. And I'm going to be honest with you, if I can get it open. It's not opening any bigger. This is not my message. This is a message that was sent to me by Richard Onaroff from Feed My Sheep Ministries in Yerushalayim. And he's a prophet. And he sends me these messages and he says, share them. I actually ended up writing 3 messages for this week before I got to this one, and I wasn't happy. And then this one came, and of course I tweaked it to suit our situation. And this is what I'm giving you today. So the message is called Yom Teruah, Revealing the Mysteries of the Feast of Trumpets, the Fifth Biblical Feast of Yehovah. Now, the Feast of the Trumpets is the mystery wedding feast, the marriage of the Lamb of Yeshua with his bride. And Yeshua said in Yochanan chapter 8, verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Israel, the Messianic body, and many of the church believers in Yeshua yearly celebrate the fifth feast of the seven feasts of Yehovah, given to us in Vayikra Leviticus chapter 23, verses 24. And also found in Bamidbar Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. And it was first called, in that feast was first called Zikron Teruah by Yehovah, and later he called it Yom Teruah. This feast is also commonly known as the Feast of Trumpets. In Vayikra Leviticus 23:24, it says, tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, the first of the month, it is to be for you a day of complete rest for remembering, a holy convocation announced with blasts on the shofar. It's a day to remember. In Bamidbar Numbers chapter 29 verse 1 it says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. It is a day of blowing the shofar for you. The shofar is not just an ordinary trumpet. The shofar is what Malachi blows to start our service each week. It is a ram's horn. It is particularly a horn of an animal. It's a ram's horn. Israel and the Jewish people also call the fifth feast Rosh Hashanah, or the Jewish New Year's. However, according to Yehovah's word, there was never, ever a biblical feast on the first day of the seventh month called Rosh Hashanah. You can't find it in the Torah. So how did this happen? This very great deception has been perpetrated for almost 2,000 years. The term Rosh Hashanah was originally taken from the Babylonian name for the month and the Babylonian teachings about their own new year, celebrated twice a year, on Nisan and in Tishri, which was copied by Israel while they were in exile in Babylon in the 5th century before this current era. The 7th Babylonian month was called Tishri, meaning beginnings. This was Babylon's new year. This name was later adopted by the religious Jews, first appearing in the early rabbinic Jewish writings in the Mishnah, about 200 AD. So one was 5th century before the current era, and then it wasn't adopted until 700 years later in 200 AD. And the next in the rabbinic writings in the Talmud of the 3rd century. Yehovah clearly told us in Shemot, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, which one month was to be the first month for Israel, which was the month for Israel's New Year's. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, Yehovah spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt, and he said, you are to begin your calendar with this month. It will be the first month of the year for you. Of the seven feasts of Yehovah, the fifth feast is truly the mystery feast of the whole Bible. This fifth feast was first named Zikron, or remembering Teruah, or remembering the shofar blast. In Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 25, it says, Yehovah said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, the first of the month, is to be for you a day of complete rest for remembering, a holy convocation announced with blasts on the shofar. Do not do any kind of ordinary work, and bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. Yehovah also told us about the fifth month in Bamidbar 29:1. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. It is a day of blowing the shofar or the teruah for you. This feast is commonly called the Feast of Trumpets, in commemoration to the time when Yehovah sounded the first shofar blasts over Mount Sinai. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, this first shofar blast, I've got nothing there. I have to take it off and start again. Sorry about that, but my computer, I've got nothing here. I went to page 2 and there was nothing. Got it up again. Okay, in Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, verse 13, it says, no hand is to touch him, for he must be stoned or shot by arrows. Neither animal nor human will be allowed to live. When the shofar sounds, they may go up on the mountain. The first blast was actually called the Yovel. When it is read in the Hebrew script, it was Israel's first jubilee, 50 days after leaving Egypt. There are two more shofar blasts done by Yehovah in Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, where it says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder, lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain. Then a shofar blast sounded so loudly that all the people in the camp trembled. This first shofar call is known as the first trump. And then in verse 19, it says, as the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moshe spoke and Yehovah answered him with a voice. This shofar was sounded from heaven just before Yehovah gave the 10 mitzvot or commandments to Israel. And this is where he entered into a marriage betrothal covenant with Israel, and also mixed the multitude of Gentiles who had come out of Egypt with the people of Israel during the Passover time. And we read this in Shemot Exodus chapter 24 verses 1 to 11. I'm not going to go read all that. The real origins of the fifth feast of Zikron Teruah go way back to Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 to 18. I'm only going to paraphrase that. And it says it was Yehovah called Avraham to offer Yitzhak on Mount Moriah. Yehovah then spared Yitzhak with a ram caught in the thicket by both of which Yehovah used as a substitutional sacrifice for Yitzhak. So he was caught by both horns so that the nation of Israel could be birthed. These two horns would later represent the two times when Yeshua would use his voice as a shofar or ram's horn to call forth his bride, first done at Mount Sinai. Later, when Yeshua returns from heaven with his bride, he will sound the last trump. This last trump will also be known as the great trump and can be found in seven different scriptures in both the Tanakh and the Kedavah HaShelekim, or New Covenant. And it's found in Zechariah 9:14, Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3, Yeshayahu 27 verses 12 to 13, Matthew 24, 27 to 31, Mark 13, 24 to 27, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17, and 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51 to 52. I'm not going to read those scriptures for you. They are in the newsletter, so you can research them for yourself if you want to later on. The last shofar blast will be sounded in the heavens over this earth, which gathers all of Yeshua's believers from heaven and from earth into his presence. They are from heaven and from earth will be released into his presence. Matthew 24:27-31 says, "When the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east and fills the sky to the west horizon. Wherever there's a dead body, that's where you find the vultures. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, the powers in heaven will be shaken, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And in Mark 13:24-27, it's more precise. It says, "In those days after that trouble, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels and gather together his chosen people from the four winds." That corresponds with the previous verse. Then it says, "From the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." This happens on the most holy biblical day of the year, which is Yom Kippur. As Yeshua returns from heaven with his bride, then on that day he will single-handedly destroy all his enemies still alive on this earth. This is at the end of the day of Yehovah. After that, Yeshua establishes the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is inaugurated on Sukkot, launching his millennium reign for 1,000 years, with the marriage supper of the Lamb being held from Jerusalem. In Revelation 19 and verse 9, it says that the angel said to me, "Write, how blessed are those who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." Then he added, "These are Yehovah's very words." In Yeshayahu Isaiah 25 verses 6 to 10, it says, "On this mountain, Yehovah Zivaot will make for all his people a feast of rich food and superb wines, delicious rich food and superb and elegant wines." On this mountain, he will destroy the veil which covers the face of all peoples, the veil enshrouding all the nations. He will swallow up death forever. Yehovah Elohim will wipe away the tears of every face. He will remove from the earth the disgrace of his people suffer, for Yehovah has spoken. On that day they will say, "See, this is our Elohim. We waited for him to save us. This is our Yehovah. We put our hope in him. We are full of joy, so glad he saved us. For on this mountain the hand of Yehovah will rest. But Moab will be trampled down where they are like the straw trampled on a pile of manure." And in Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. "Now if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my treasure from among the peoples, from all the earth, for all the earth is mine. You will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. When the Yovel or Jubilee, which I mentioned in Shemot 19, verse 13, sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." And at Shemot 19, 16, "Then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning there was thunderings and lightnings and thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the shofar was very loud. So the people were all camped, in the camp trembled." Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke when all this happened, because Yehovah descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. In Shemot 19:19, it says, "And when the blast of the shofar sounded long and became louder and louder, Moshe spoke. And Yehovah answered him by voice." Who is the voice of Yehovah? Yeshua, right. Who only spoke what his father told him to speak or say. And directly after speaking the 10 mitzvot, or the 10 commandments, we read in Shemot Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, "All the people experienced the thunder, the lightning, the sound of the shofar, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, standing at a distance, they said to Moshe, 'You speak with us and we will listen, but don't let God speak with us or we will die.'" Yeshayahu, Isaiah 49 and verse 6 says, "He has said, 'It is not enough that you are merely my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and restore the offspring of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so my salvation can spread to the ends of the earth.'" Israel was called to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. They will one day soon fulfill their calling. Yeshua, a descendant of Israel, had come to earth to help Israel fulfill this calling. Yeshua had given this special calling to his born-again Melchizedek Kohanim to carry out for him. The Messianic Jewish and Gentile believers on the earth until one day when all Israel can be saved. Then Israel will take up this calling from Yehovah for the unsaved people from the earth. Yehovah first entered into a marriage betrothal covenant with Israel with a mixed multitude at Mount Sinai on the fourth feast of Yehovah on Shavuot or Pentecost. Yehovah was the bridegroom and Israel was to become Yehovah's bride. In Shemot Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7 it says, "I will take you as my people and I will be your Elohim. Then you will know that I am Yehovah your Elohim, who freed you from the forced labor of the evictions." Moshe was the friend of the bridegroom. He was like the best man. And that's how he was used when he walked on this earth. In Shemot Exodus chapter 19 and verse 17, It says, Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet Yehovah. They stood near the base of the mountain. The Torah was given by Yehovah, and that was actually the marriage contract. It was like a ketubah. When Jewish people get married, they have a ketubah that the oath that they take at that wedding is put into that ketubah, and they usually frame it and they keep it forever. It's different to a marriage certificate. It's the oath or the covenant they made with each other and with Yehovah. That ketubah is always pictured within their home to remind them of the covenant they made. When that covenant's in your face, you're not going to let go of those vows very easily. And this is what the 10 mitzvot, or the 10 words, were to the people of Israel. They were equivalent to the ketubah. The beginning of the Exodus from Egypt was the beginning of the marriage betrothal. The marriage betrothal was held under a huppah. How could millions of people be under a huppah? As they stood at the base of Mount Sinai, the mountain would have been like a shadow over them, which was like the huppah. Yehovah made a covenant to his people, the bride, when he gave them the 10 mitzvot. In Shemot, Exodus 19 and verse 5, it says, "Now if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Yehovah's people, his bride, agreed to the oath or covenant, the ketubah, in Shemot 24, verse 3. Moshe came and told the people everything Yehovah had said, including all the rulings. And the people answered with one voice, "We will obey every word Yehovah has spoken." And in 24, verse 7, it says, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud so that the people could hear. And they responded, 'Everything that Yehovah has spoken, we will do and obey.'" And in Shemot 34, verse 10, it goes on to say, "And he said, 'Hear, I am making a covenant in front of all of your people. I will do wonders such as not been created anywhere on earth or in any nation. All the people around will see the work of Yehovah. What I am going to do through you will be awesome." And in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 10 to 15, it says, "Today you are standing, all of you, before Yehovah your Elohim, your heads, your tribes, your leaders and your officers, all the men of Israel, along with your little ones, your wives, your foreigners here with you in your camp, with the one who chops your wood, to the one who draws your water. The purpose is that you should enter into the covenant of Yehovah your Elohim and into his oath which Yehovah your Elohim is making with you today, so that he can establish you today for himself as a people, so that for you he will be your Elohim. And as he said to you and as he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac and Yaakov, but I am not making this covenant with this oath only with you. Rather, I am making it both with him who is standing here with us today before Yehovah your Elohim, and also with him who is not here with us today." That was us. We weren't at Mount Sinai, but he was making that covenant with us because he knew that we would follow him, we would follow his Torah, and we would follow his son, Yeshua. The first marriage betrothal covenant was made by Yehovah with both Israel and the Gentiles. The truth is very important. In Yeshayahu chapter 54, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, it says, "For your husband is your maker, Yehovah Zivaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called the Elohim of all the earth." Yehovah entered into a marriage covenant betrothal with Israel at Mount Sinai. Later, Yah then divorced Israel for their adultery found in Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. And he says, I saw that even though backsliding Israel had committed adultery, so that he had sent her away and given her a divorce document. But Yehovah also promised that if Israel would return back to him, he would take Israel back into his marriage betrothal. In Yirmiyahu chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it says, go and proclaim these words towards the north. Return backsliding Israel to Yehovah. I will not frown on you, for I am merciful, says Yehovah. I will not bear a grudge forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you have committed, crimes against Yehovah your Elohim, that you were promiscuous with strangers under every green tree, that you have not paid attention to my voice, says Yehovah. Return backsliding children, says Yehovah, for I am your master. I will take you from a city, one from a city, two from a family, and bring you to Zion. And Yehovah also later promised to make a new covenant with Israel where their sins and iniquities would be forgiven. And we say this every week within this service from Yirmiyahu chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Hear the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. And it will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach their fellow community members or his brother, know Yehovah, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Can we all say hallelujah to that? Perhaps some 1480 years later, after Yehovah had first come at Mount Sinai, bringing Israel into the first marriage betrothal covenant, which Israel had later broken, Yah sent his messenger, Yochanan the Immerser, to announce to Israel that Yehovah was about to gain entrance into another marriage betrothal covenant with Israel. In John chapter 3, verses 28 to 29, it says, you yourselves can confirm that I did not say I was the Messiah, but that I have been sent ahead of him. The bridegroom is the one who has the bride. But the bridegroom's friend, who stands and listens to him, is overjoyed at the sound of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy is of mine is now complete. You know, Yochanan was actually Yeshua's cousin. And his joy was complete just in hearing Yeshua's voice. 3 years later, when 120 Israeli Jewish believers had assembled together in one place, 10 days after our resurrected Adonai Yeshua, our Savior, or Yeshua, returned to Hamashiach, Yehovah poured out his Ruach HaKodesh, inaugurating his new covenant marriage betrothal into the 120 born anew Israeli believers. This happened on the fourth feast of Yehovah of Shavuot. Shortly after that, Gentile believers from the nations were brought into this new covenant. With this new covenant came the mystery of Elohim. We find this first mentioned in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. And it says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged, that they may be joined together in love, that they may have all the riches derived from being assured of understanding and fully knowing Elohim's secret truth, which is the Messiah. And in Revelations 10 verse 7, it says, on the contrary, in the days of the sound of the seventh angel, when he sounds his shofar, the hidden plan of Yehovah will be brought into completion, the good news as he proclaimed it to his servants, the prophets. So what is this mystery of Yehovah? The mystery is that Yah would one day create a bride for himself. Yeshua did this when he was pierced through on the stake, giving his life and his blood for us, to create in his own body the one new man made up of born anew believers. And Yeshua is the head of that one new man. In Revelation 11 and verse 15, it says, "The seventh angel sounded his shofar. There were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will rule forever and ever.'" In Revelation 11:18, it says, "The goyim raged. Now your rage has come, the time for the dead to be judged, the time for rewarding your servants, the prophets and your holy people, those who stand in awe of your name, both small and great. It is also the time for destroying those who destroy the earth." This time is coming. I believe we are getting close with what they're trying to push at the moment on each and every one of us. In Revelation 19, verses 6 to 7, it says, "Then I heard what sounded like the roar of a huge crowd, like the sound of rushing waters, like the peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, Yehovah Elohim of heaven's armies has begun his reign. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us give him the glory, for the time has come for the wedding of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself.'" Yeshua's mystery bride. The Messianic community, or the ecclesia, or called out ones. And we can see that in Ephesians 1, chapter 2 and chapter 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 17 to 20 and 24, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, and 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. These are all in the newsletter, but I'm not going to say them now. The Messianic community, let me say this clearly, I want you to hear it because you might get a shock. The Messianic community is not Yeshua's bride. This is a most important truth. However, within Yeshua's body can be found his mystery bride. Yeshua is the first fruits offering of the barley harvest of unleavened bread. And we see that in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 to 10, which I'm not going to read today. But Yeshua's bride is the Shavuot's first fruits offering of the spring wheat harvest of two leavened loaves or two groups. In Vayikra, Leviticus 23, verse 17, it says, "You must bring bread from your homes for waving, two loaves made with 1 gallon of fine flour, baked with leaven, as first fruits for Yehovah." Yeshua's bride is made up of two groups, not just the Messianic community. They are sealed by Yehovah in their foreheads, one group in the first fruits offering of the 144,000 Jews, seen in Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 to 8. The second group is the first fruits group of 144,000 Gentiles of Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Now, each and every one of these, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, they're all believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. They are part of the bride. Okay? Yeshua's bride are those believers who live in the presence of Yehovah, in the very heart of Yah. They are totally surrendered to him, putting him above all else. They are his most closest, most trusted friends and his best soldiers. They are always ready to carry out his most important and most difficult assignments. They have given their lives for others. And that's probably everyone sitting in this room. But it's certainly not every Christian that walks into every Christian church. Okay, because we are devoted to him. It's not just a 1 hour service once a week and never think of him through the week. That's not his bride. It's those that are prepared to go out on a limb, let go of family, let go of whatever we have to let go of so we can serve him. That's who the bride is. That's how you give your lives for others. You give up your life as it was so that you can serve others. Yes, Jot.
Just on your slide there, it said the bride had made herself ready. So the onus is on the bride to do the work in order to be prepared for Yeshua.
That's exactly right.
It's not Yeshua's job to get us ready. It's our job to get ourselves ready for
His return.
Exactly
right. It's like the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
When the bridegroom comes, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 had their lamps ready, they were ready. 5 didn't have their lamps ready, and they missed the marriage feast. Those who are prepared and are ready, those who want to serve Him fully, those who want to think on Him from their waking moment to their going to sleep moment. The first thing they do when they wake up is start praying and getting into the Word. The last thing they do at night before they go to sleep is to pray. They are the ones that are dedicated to Him. Not the ones that just turn up at a service and don't think of Him through the week. Those that have prepared themselves, that obey His Torah, obey His feasts, obey His festivals. This is why we're celebrating the festivals. This is why we had Yom Teruah on Thursday. This is why we'll have Yom Kippur next Shabbat. And then do our whole week for the festival of Sukkot. Because we observe the biblical festivals, not the festivals like Christmas and Easter that aren't found in the scriptures. We have to be devoted to Him and His Word. His Word is the covenant He made with His bride. If we're not obedient to His Word, we can't be His bride. That's what I've been trying to get across. Do people understand that? Yehovah does divinity things on His biblical feast days. And it's like this. Yeshua's birth was on Sukkot. It wasn't the 25th of December. It was Sukkot. He was born on the first day of Sukkot, which lines up with next Thursday. He was born on that day. On Shemini Atzeret, he was circumcised. 8th day afterwards, when the blood can then congeal. He was born during the festival of Sukkot. He was born in a stable, sukkah, for Sukkot. He was born in a sukkah in a private place. The sheep, the cattle were all out into the field because it wasn't snowing. And they were able to use the feeding trough as his cradle. If it was December, the cattle and the sheep would have been in that stable because it would have been snowing in the field. So we have to look at it as it really is. We observe his festivals according to his word, not according to the doctrines of man. So Yeshua's birth was on Sukkot. His death was on Pesach or Passover. His resurrection was on the first fruits of barley during the season of Passover and unleavened bread. Yeshua poured out his Ruach, his Spirit, or Holy Spirit, to the 120 believers on Shavuot, on Pentecost. Each one is a biblical feast day. So when will he return? On a biblical feast day. That's Yah's pattern. That's how Yah does things. It's amazing. It's so easy to see when you know his word and understand his word. We are in the midst at the moment of the final three feasts of Yehovah. The Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, which was Thursday. The Feast of Yom Kippur, next Shabbat. And the Feast of Sukkot, the seventh feast of Yehovah, following Thursday. So my prayer for you is that you enjoy the festivals, that you will enjoy our service next Shabbat, where we have a service of repentance, because that's what Yom Kippur is all about. And not just repentance, but repentance and denying ourselves. We don't deny ourselves food, especially if people are on medications that need food. You must take your medication. Under no circumstance must you skip food if you're skipping it for medication when you've got medication to take. But you can skip your TV, you can skip your phone, you can skip lots of other things. Malachi and I, touchy-feely people, we don't touch each other on Yom Kippur at all until the sun has set. No kiss good morning, no kiss good night. Not on. Because that's denying ourselves. That's a hard thing to do. It's just an automatic reaction. We never go to bed without kissing each other goodnight. We never walk out the house or back in the house without kissing each other goodbye or hello. It's just what we have done ever since we were first married. You see, that's just our relationship. That is one of the hardest things for us to give up. So when we deny ourselves, we certainly deny ourselves that and other things on Yom Kippur. So it does not have to necessarily be a food fast. You choose what you want to fast. And I've said that as we're doing the fasting, Malachi and I are doing permanent fasting at the moment, where we have a 14 to 16 hour fast every day before we start eating, from one meal to the next, so that we can be in prayer, so that we can be praying for you and being praying for the community and praying for the situation that we're in today and hoping for people to receive miracles from it. And we're getting the miracles. People are coming and showing us that they're receiving miracles, which is really wonderful. So that's all I have to say on the festivals. If anyone's got any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Come to the mic.
What happened to the other people? Yeah. Yeah.
Pick up the mic.
I'm thinking about myself.
There's a slide on the side. Push it up.
I was thinking.
Is it on?
Okay.
Yep, go on.
About the other people, like myself.
How do you mean, other Arab people?
Other.
Other people.
The great crowd of people.
That's Gentiles. That's the Gentiles.
Gentiles, yeah. What happened to them then?
The Gentiles that are observing his Torah, observing his festivals, and they're attached to the bride, they're part of the bride.
To be one
When Yehovah made the covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, he made it with the Israelites and the Egyptians that had come out of Israel. So they were the Gentiles. And that's what I've said all through it. The Gentiles and the believers are all one, but they must be observing Torah. They must be observing Shabbat. They must be observing his festivals. Because if they're worshipping on a Sunday, or they're worshipping on Christmas and Easter, that's not Yehovah's festivals. Okay? So they've got other gods. They're following the god of Rephaim. Any other questions? We'll move into the remembrance service if there's nothing else.